All right, well, how many of you love to hear stories about people who are pioneering into new frontiers? It's an enjoyable thing just to hear of people who are going for it and doing new things and things that we have never experienced. Like many of you, our family over the years has made trips down around this time of the year, and my family wishes that we had done it this year, go down to the Outer Banks for a week of vacation. I know some of you have been there recently or are headed there, kind of thing. But on those trips, a few times we've stopped in at the Wright Brothers Memorial, where Wilbur and Orville Wright achieved the first successful airplane flights on December 17th of 1903. And there they are. There's just this picture that, you know, there they were working and doing all kinds of tests and experiments and trying to make it so that they could have this first successful flight back then. I mean, can you imagine what people must have been thinking as they were there working on this and trying to, they had this idea that people can fly, like airplanes can fly, and not even like having a concept of what that means. To think that man could figure out how to fly prior to what the Wright brothers did was unheard of. And today, it's a common thing. I think a few years ago, the statistics said that 1.73 million people were flying every single day, and that was just here in the States. Just flying all over the place is unheard of to think that you could fly short distances, that this week, you know, we're flying from BWI the whole way down to San Pedro Sula in Honduras. My sister, she just got back, flew the whole way back home from the other side of the world whenever she's over in Hong Kong and Thailand and making a trip. Just to think that is even possible is an amazing thing. And it had to start somewhere. I love hearing the story of the years of sacrifice and sacrifice that the Wright brothers put into seeing that dream become a reality. I love pioneering moments, moments that take us places that we have never been before, moments that appreciate the past, but they don't stay in the past. And so our church has had a lot of pioneering moments of its own. In 1962, in August of 1962, it was during the 174th session of the Pennsylvania Annual Conference of the United Brethren in Christ, there was this resolution that was passed that year in 1962. And it said this: in fulfillment of the Great Commission, go into all the world and in tribute to those whose sacrifices have made this Pennsylvania Conference of the Church of the United Brethren in Christ what it is, be it resolved that the 174th session of the annual conference charge the incoming conference council with the responsibility of a suitable site and provide for the establishment of a new church extension project during the anniversary sessions of the 175th session. And so at that point, the site wasn't known exactly where it was going to be, but it was sent out that here I want, find some place where we can plant a church. And so in the whole Harrisburg, York area, that's where they looked, tried to find a spot. And guess what? They found this spot right here on the corner of Devonshire and Devonshire Heights Road. And they said, here's where we want to do it. And so they bought a house and they bought some lots. And as you can see up here before us in 1964, the plans were drawn for the building. And they started building and working on that. And Ray Selhammer came and he was the church planting pastor. And there was an early picture of the family back then. It was a new thing, pioneering the way. Had no idea there wasn't a past. There was all but the future and to see how God was going to work. And that's our beginnings here. And some of you were a part of that. And some of you, I think, are in that picture up there. And it's an amazing thing how, because you were willing to be a part of that and pioneering, that here we are and we're sitting. And so since then, our church has continued to grow and move forward into ministries that had not yet been experienced previously. You know, most recently, one that we get to see about 100 kids and their families through here almost every day is through the ministry of Little Lambs. Our team that's headed to Honduras this week, as I said, is here may 15 years since we first went, and this is our fifth time to go and connect with our sister church there in Honduras. But that didn't happen without a first trip of going and stepping out and beginning something new, something that we had never done before. There have been great productions, events, spiritual highs where the Lord has moved powerfully in the history of our church. But here's the thing, as great as the past is, with it also comes challenges. You see, it's a problem whenever the past defines a group, because whenever our memories exceed our dreams, then the end is near. I just want to say that again, and I think it goes on the screen. When your memories exceed your dreams, the end is near. And so today, here we are in the final part of this series that we've been working through called For Harrisburg. And here's what the main points have been. We've been saying that for many people, the church is known for what it's against. We simply want to be known what we are for. We are for students, we are for children, we are for adults, we are for families, we are for singles, we are for preschoolers. We are for this community, and there's a reason that we're for this community. It's because we believe that God is for this community. We've been asking the question, what do we want to be known for? And this is what we want to be known for. We want people to know Jesus. We want to say yes to those who have said no. We want to be for our neighbor. We want to be part of what Jesus said he came to do, and that is to seek and to save those who are lost. And so as we think about this and this whole word of being for and this kind of thing that we have been called to, it's all pioneering language. It's part of a movement the likes of which the world has never seen, and that movement is called the local church. And that's what we get to be a part of. The church is a very rich heritage. Our church has a very rich heritage here in this community. But whenever our heritage becomes the good old days, there's a danger. And that danger is that whenever our memories exceed our dreams, that is a dangerous thing to pioneering moments. And so today, we want to ask two questions that pioneers ask. Always ask, and I want to ask them because the work that God has called us to do is so important. And I want to ask these two questions because they're fantastic questions for us as we bring this series to a close. But before we ask these two questions, I want us to look to the greatest pioneer. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're just going to look at the first two verses real briefly this morning. And as you turn there, here's a little bit of context of what the writer of Hebrews' purpose is as he's writing, and he comes to this point in this letter that he is writing. He is encouraging believers to keep on persevering in the midst of challenges and hard things, to keep on trusting in Jesus. Because there are people who are out there who are wanting to pull them away and say, no, Jesus isn't really all that. That's fine, Jesus, but Jesus plus you got to do this or that, you know, then that's good. But we believe that Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? That he is everything. That he is enough. And so the writer of Hebrews, he writes through and he's talking and he's explaining to them the supremacy of Christ, Jesus in all things. And he says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's already given a number of examples from the saints in chapter 11. He said, look at this person did this, this person did this. Faithful saints. But the person that he wants them to look at after saying all of that is, he says, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to him as your example. Look to him as your inspiration. Look to him as the reason why we do everything and you do everything that you do. It is all because of him, because we are fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the pioneer of our faith. This means we keep our eyes fixed on him. We move forward. We keep on pioneering. We keep on believing. We believe Jesus when he said that you will do even greater things than these. You see, pioneers understand that God is a multiplier, and pioneers aren't scared of the unfamiliar. In fact, pioneers are intrigued by the unfamiliar. Pioneers live lives that are for their neighbor, and through the years, it's been such a blessing and a joy just to think of stories that I've heard from within our church family. There are so many, they can't recap them all. But I've heard stories of people inviting their neighbors into their homes for meals. I've heard stories about people taking meals to their neighbors, looking for ways to come alongside them for their good. Maybe it's helping with a house project. I remember one time as our church family gathered around and putting on a roof for somebody. coming alongside whenever the unexpected happens. There's times whenever we partnered together for the sake of someone who is going through a crisis situation. And even this past week, as Christopher sent out a quick email that he forwarded on from Erin, just the idea, Erin Stutzman, that hopefully you got, but she had this idea to get out and be for our community by getting out to our community parks and saying, I'm going to be out there on this day and just going to pick up some litter and stuff like that and to make a difference. And so there's all these little ways where there's just stories of us saying, let's go and let's be for our community. And so here's some questions that pioneers ask. What now and what next? And so what are we going to do now? As we pioneer forward, how are we going to show that we are for our neighbors? And one of the ways that we're going to do that, clearly, that has had a lot of our focus and attention recently, is through the project that is getting built next door in our community center. And it's coming to a close in the next few weeks. Gary, are we still shooting for a July? Yeah, things are going, it's soon. It's going to be done soon. And it's a great thing. And so in the coming years, what are those, what next? I loved it. I got an email from Christopher as he's been leading our teams, our outreach team, and met with our ministry leaders and putting together some ideas of ways that we can use that, and also just for us as a congregation, as to continue to be for our community. Just read a few of the ideas. Maybe, and if you're interested and you want to get involved and maybe take the lead with any of these ideas, please talk to me, talk to Christopher, and we would love to get you plugged in and see these things come a reality. But this is where we all get to be a part in making it happen. Whether it's maybe meals for seniors in the community, maybe we have a space for a coffee house, doing different kinds of workshops, music classes, coffee and board game nights, of course, open sports nights, whether that's basketball or volleyball. This idea, midnight basketball? Who's going to stay up to midnight? Meals, all kinds of things. Maybe opening it up for getting connected with foster care and being an encouragement to those in foster care or adoption situations. What else is on here? There's being an encouragement to our first responders in different ways and providing a forum where we can connect and with them, scrapbooking, different kinds of meal activities. We talked about in the coming year, we're partnering with schools and teachers and coming alongside, and how can we as a congregation be an encouragement? We talked about that last week, like how we have a limited number of hours connecting with those that we get to connect with, but what if we come alongside those teachers who get to have like tons of hours with our kids in this community? And if we're for those kids, we are for our teachers, because we want our community and our kids and our teachers to win. So how can we come alongside them? Partnering with our community leaders. We have a vision, we have a dream of going and planting a church down in Midtown in Harrisburg through Liz and Christopher. There's all these ways. There are some of those what next and some of those ways that we want to do that in the how. How's it going to happen? And what now? And so in answering the question of what's next, the answer to that, it isn't a new question, because it's at the core of who we are, that it is about helping people find and follow Jesus. It's about people coming to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. It's about seeing people stepping into the light of Christ. You know, if you go to our church's website or even in the back, we have a list of what are next steps that we want to encourage people to take and all of us to take in growing in our walk with Him. Because the call that we have in our lives is to make disciples who make disciples. And we believe that a great way to do that is to be a place where we belong. That we would be a place where people can grow in becoming like Christ, and also that we would be a people who are a blessing to our community and to those around us. And so, church, it is a precious thing that we get to be a part of. Our church family is a place where encouragement, care, and support are experienced, and I've seen it happen numerous times, even in this past week, coming alongside those who are journeying through difficult seasons. It's a place where we get to love and be loved. It's a place where we get to serve and be served. It's a place where we get to know and be known. And it's a place where we get to find encouragement towards loving Jesus and others and continuing towards and pressing on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's a precious thing. And so as we move into the years to come, that's my prayer. That's my prayer for us as a church, that many more will come to hear of Jesus and experience the gift of being a part of a church family through us. And so with that, I want to encourage you to sign up, to serve, get involved, give generously. It is an amazing thing what we can do together as God's people here in our community. I want to encourage you to invest in others. I want to encourage you to invite them to come and join us. Jesus is changing lives, and I believe without a doubt that he's going to do that in the years to come, that the best is yet to come. And so the question is this: are our best days in front of us? Or our best days behind us? I believe that they're in front of us. And I'm looking forward to it. And remember this, that when your memories exceed your dreams, the end is near. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. That when your memories exceed your dreams, the end is near. But when your dreams exceed your memories, you're a pioneer. Are we pioneers or are we settlers? I believe that we're pioneers. Let's keep on going. The reason I believe that is because our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and when our eyes are fixed on him, we remember what he called us to do, and this is what he called us to do, that we would go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That we would go. Go is a pioneering word. It is what we do. We have a world to reach. That's why we're doing what we do as a church here in our community. That's why we're going to Honduras. That's why in a few weeks, some are going to Kentucky. We're sending a team there. That's why this fall, there's a team that's headed to Indonesia. Just because God has called us to go and we want to be faithful and obedient. The good news is that Jesus' people are pioneers. Jesus' people go. Jesus' people let the people of this world know that we are for them because Jesus is for them. So here's a recap of our series and where we've been, real briefly. What do we want to be known for? We want to be known for what we are for, and that is that we are for Harrisburg, and that we are for our neighbors, and that we will say yes to those who have said no to Jesus, maybe said no to the church, maybe said no to what we believe, and maybe they don't even know what they're saying no to. But we will go out into our community, and we're going to share the greatest message that there could ever be, and that is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's our vision. Our memories are great, but our dreams are greater. You know, just think of it, what God has for us in the days to come and what he's calling us to do and how he's working and going to work. Because when your dreams exceed your memories, you pioneer. And so as a church family, let's do it. Let's go. Let's pioneer. And let's keep our eyes fixed on him. And this week, and I was just reminded of this over and over, that we can move forward with confidence. We can move forward with a peace in our hearts. We can go, you know, as was shared here a moment ago by some of the team, one of the ways to pray is just for safety, for our families as they're here. And there's all kinds of concerns that can be had whenever you go to an unknown location and things are a bit different. And maybe your connection isn't so easily had with those whom you love. But you go and you can have peace because you know he's gone with you. Because you are his, and that he is your father who loves you and cares for you. And I don't know what we're journeying through here in this room. I don't know what you're journeying through specifically on a personal level. But to know that you are his changes everything. And to remember who he says that we are and that we are his children. I think, Stacy, you said it, we are a child of the Most High God. And that changes everything. So this morning, let's just bow our heads and let's ask God, how are you calling? What a dream are you putting in my head that you're saying, go? I'm calling you to be a part of this.